Okay, today's daf in the Sechet Shvi'it brought to you, in Yerushalmi, of course, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Aleph. But let's just remember once again, we've been talking about the details of what it is that you're allowed to do in terms of taking out compost and garbage during Shvi'is. We talked about, the last case that we talked about was the question of whether you had a little bit. Now, we didn't quite understand the Mishnah. It says you had a little bit of garbage and you can add to it what that meant. We had two approaches. You had a little garbage that you had taken out to the field before Shvi'is. You're allowed to add to it. But that would be because the area that you had already taken it out to was already Zavul. So you're not really doing any Zibul. But the other explanation that we had was that if you have a little bit of garbage in the house, you can take it out, put it down, and not worry about it because, as we said, there's no chashash of the Marisayin. Everybody sees that you're making a compost heap because you go out with a little rake and you're in the end going to absolutely complete it, right? Because you're going to keep adding to it until you get your requisite 10 letters. But Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, he didn't agree. So he didn't agree in the case where you were bringing out lechatchila. He didn't agree because then the actual pula that you're doing, if in the end you don't put out the 10 letters, or according to Rabbi Shimon, the minimum of 3 letters. But anyway, if you didn't put out the number of required piles of Zevel to turn it into clearly not Zibel, then it turns out that you actually did a regular Zibel. And he was Cheshesh, maybe you won't be able to bring out that amount over the course of time. That was one approach. And then the other approach, where we're talking about you already had it out there from before Shvi'is, so there's no problem of doing the Zibul. So over there, the problem is that if you're unable to complete it, so then it looks it's Maris Ayin, and maybe every time you take it out, people are thinking that you're doing the wrong thing. Those were the different approaches that we had, and obviously we had our big machlokasin about whether you're able to be mosif on the actual piles themselves, or whether you're allowed to be mosif or pochet from the number of wheelbarrows of letters that you end up putting into it. Those were all the various shitas. We talked about Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and we had Rabbi Shimon with his special halachas. It was very maker. We found that he was maker in two different ways. He allowed both a hosafa in terms of the number of these piles that you're going to have within a Beit Sa, which according to the Chachamim was only 3. And he also is makel in the sense that he doesn't require a massive pile. He will accept even 3 letters in a pile. And then we had this machlokas about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Would you be allowed to be most sefer holech in those two cases? So that was a fascinating way of understanding the two different approaches that we're talking about in terms of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Gosh, Benny's not here. Okay, I made a mistake. I said it's Chav Beis, I meant Chav Aleph. Okay, so getting to today's daf, which will begin on daf Chav Aleph, the question about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah over here is actually linked to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah in Moed Katan. Because remember, in Moed Katan, we always talk about not only the issues of Shemitah, but we put them together with the issues of Chol HaMoed, even though there's very different reasoning in the Dinim of Chol HaMoed and Shemitah. But there's a lot of things that we have to take into consideration in terms of the hefset, survival of the fruits, so on and so forth, which end up giving us the same kind of solution. So over there, one of the issues that we raise, which in terms of Chol HaMoed is purely an issue of Malacha and Chol HaMoed, namely Tircha, and in terms of Shvi'is, has to come from a totally different point of view, because there's no issue, Isser, obviously, of Tircha during Shemitah. So one of the issues that we had over there was not only Lagabi fertilizing, but digging trenches for irrigation. So they used to have what they call the Amat HaMayim, and instead of using piping, they would actually have what was called an Amah, because it was generally one Amah, and the water would go, they would seal it up at the beginning. When it was your turn to use the water, then you would take off the mechitzah, so to speak, which is the equivalent of opening up the pipe, and water your field. The question is, can you actually dig one of these things during Chol HaMoed, or could you dig one of these things during Shemitah? So over there, the Mishnah says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're not allowed to during Shemitah. So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Bono Amar, you should know that we just had these two pshatim over here about the case of adding or taking out from your house, even in the beginning of Shemitah. Well, you should know that the two things we had over here about bringing out your garbage during Shemitah, and we gave two different reasons for it, is very similar to the two issues that are raised in Moed Katan about another thing that the same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, because the Taninan, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Eino Simeta Amma B'tchila B'moed B'shvi'is, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you are not allowed to dig an Amat HaMayim during Shvi'is. Now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with digging if you're not doing something that is being makshed the karka for Zriya. I mean, digging is not Harisha. Digging is, I mean, somebody wants to build a house, he brings in a bulldozer and he digs the foundations for the house. I mean, why is that also during Shvi'as? There's no Isser Binyan during Shvi'as, obviously. So, I mean, what I'm doing, it's true, I'm preparing the field in terms of being able to water it, but that's not a direct preparation for Zriya that could possibly be construed as Harisha. So then what exactly was the reasoning that we had over there? Well, there too we have the two different svaras that we said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, just like we said over here, two different svaras depending on what the two cases were. Whether it was I started before Shvi'as and now I can add during Shvi'as, or whether I can even start during Shvi'as itself. So Rabbi Zera gives the reason, what happens is that when you dig, what do you do with the actual dirt? You're digging an irrigation ditch. So do you put it in a wheelbarrow and carry it away? No. You dig and you just throw it to the side, right? So what you end up doing is create a wonderful area for planting. I mean, that is loose, damp soil, which is just great for planting on. So since he's makshir etzdadea lizria, so all of that delicious topsoil that you've now put out there is actually doing real harisha, because it's preparing the land for planting. Now, there's a big question in the Bavli, where we're talking over there in Moed Katan, where according to Taisvis, who brings two pshatim of what this would be. Is it because you really did it? Meaning that even though I wasn't thinking of doing that, and therefore you would think, well, I mean, so it ought to be the same as just building something. But nonetheless, every time that I do this and I dig out an irrigation ditch, it's what I end up doing. What's that called in terms of Melech HaShabbos? A psik resha. It's an eino mechavim. I have no intention of creating an area that's better for planting, but there's no way for me to do it without that. So basically, if I dig normally to dig an irrigation ditch, I am ending up being over on the Malach of Harisha. That's one possibility that Tosva suggests, but he himself also points out there in Moed Katan that it's not clear that just because we call the relationship in Shvi'as, which ties into what we've been talking about in Baba Kama, the relationship over there of Ovais and Toldais, that the nature of the Malachis is necessarily that there's the same concept of Psik Resha, because we don't really find an idea of Malachis Bachsheves by Shvi'as, even though it's similar in certain ways to the Dinim of Shabbos. What's more, remember that the Toldais, when it comes to Shemitah, are Aser Midrabbanan, and it's not at all clear that the Rabbanan assert a psik resha in their malachas of Shvi'as, in which case the idea would not be because it's literally a psik resha, but again, it would be because of Maris Ayin. So people who see what was done, so to them, you basically prepared the whole area for planting. Okay, so that would be one approach. And the other approach, we said that we have two approaches that are similar to the two approaches that we use for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Bon Bar Chiya. B'shem, Abba Bar Mamal says, no, it's be'etzem because of Maris Ayin. In other words, what it is that you're doing is actually people will think that you are doing a harisha. It's not because if they see the karka that you put on the side, they'll think that that looks like harisha. It's because the etzem malacha that you were doing, which in your mind has nothing to do with Harisha, people may misunderstand. And they will say, oh, look at this. The guy is going out there to do Harisha in his field. So I didn't do anything. It's just, it's one of those things that the Chachamim disallow because of Maris Ayin. And these words make no sense. The Gra takes out this next words because they don't mean anything here. Havin Boy Meimar. Normally, when we say Havin Boy Meimar, it means the same thing that Salka Daitach or Kasalka Daitach, and then we say no, which is not the case over here. And there's no reason to say they wanted to say the Pshat is. They did say the Pshat is. So take that out like the Gra does. And we start. So if over there, where we're talking about the digging of the Amat HaMayim, that it's because it doesn't look right, so then that's the same as what we said over here about bringing things from your garbage out to your field, because we said that there too, it's considered to be Maris Ayin, which is what Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel said over here too. So basically, it ties in very clearly with Rabbon Bar Chia, who was quoting Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel. Ma'andi Amar B'nei Shu Makshir Tzadel is Ria. Well, now that's different, because over there, I mean, what would that be equivalent to in the case of taking out a little bit of stuff from your garbage? I mean, over here, you're certainly not going to take that little bit and say it is an actual act of zibel, because it isn't an actual act of zibel. All these times where you had the zibel there, it's not going to make any nafkamina to make a pile of the zevel. And it can't be that we're going to answer it here because of Maris Ayin, because Rav Zira was saying that the issue is not Maris Ayin when it comes to the Oma. So then, okay, so what exactly is it? Well, the only way that Rav Zira could actually understand it, let lecha, the only way that it would work is that he understood the machlokes between Rav Elazar and Azariah in the case where I did not put anything out before Shvias. Remember, we had two different cases. So he obviously is learning that we're talking about over here. You want to bring out a little bit, and we were going to be matured doing that because of the fact that in the end, you're going to have a big pile, and therefore there's no act of actual zibel here. And over there, we said the reason is Shemelo Yimatzilo Zevel. In which case, if in the end you don't have a big pile, then you really actually did do this evil. And that would be what Rebbe Zera was saying. You really actually, you made the area on the side of the ditch, you made it specifically rolly for planting. Okay, excellent. So now, is there nafkamina between the two pshatim, between Rebbe Zera and Rabba Bar Mama? Oh, yes, there is. Major difference. Ma nafik bibinim. My nafik bibinim is my nafkamine, right? In Hebrew. So, chofar lasot amashal binyan. There's tremendous difference. Suppose you are digging foundations for a building. Now, when you dig foundations for a building, obviously you don't take the stuff and then dump it on the side, because you're not going to be able to do your building. So basically, when people are building, they dump the soil into a wheelbarrow, which is then taken out, put into a dumpster, and collected at the end of the day, which is exactly what every kablan does. There'd be no way to work if you dig holes and leave the dirt there. So there, it makes a tremendous difference. If you hold, now again, somebody throws in the words, Havin Boy Neymar, which again make no sense, and again the Gra takes out. So man diomer taman mipnei marisa ayin. If the only issue that we're worried about over there with the amat amayim is because they can watch you digging, and they think, what is this guy doing? What is this guy doing? He's doing Harish in his field for Shvias. What a bum. So, I mean,
they're going to spread dirt about it.
Nice. So, but then why would that be any different? They'll say the same thing about this guy. But if it has to do with the fact that you were actually Makshir Tzadel Zriya, it's Mandi Amet Haman, and that's how what he's doing here. So there would be no problem. Makes all the difference in the world. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, if I take the zevel and I put it on top of a surface, which is stone, so then I don't have to worry about it. Well, actually, Everybody agrees that any type of surface, which is really not fertilizable. So if you're talking about, you had seed in that place. Once you put seed down, you can't plant anything. The seed actually burns it. So you might yellow seed. Let's say you had a bunch of straw road, you had gravel there, or you had actual avonim, or you had gypsos. Now gypsos is basically a, what you use for making, cement, right? So it's a cement gypsum. So that is mutter for you to put out whatever you'd like to put out in terms of the problem of zibul, because it's clear you cannot be mezabel that. So the etzem pu'ula of zibul is impossible. Which brings us to our next halakha mishnah. So we're up to halakha gimel in perek gimel. And now we've got an interesting way to be mezabel asada. And it actually saves you a heck of a lot of trouble. All you do is you take your sheep and you put them out in your field as a pen. And then sheep do a wonderful job automatically of fertilizing your field. They even space things properly. Amazing. What wonderful animals. So in that case, somebody wants to put his animals out in the field. And that would be a medayer etzadeh. A dyer comes, of course, from the word deer, right? A deer is an enclosure of some kind for animals. So what do you do? Well, if you want to do that, now there's a big machlokas over here. What are we talking about? You want to do that. Right now, we're assuming, and according to the Rambam, we can continue to assume, but we'll see. But right now, we're assuming that you're doing this on purpose. You want to get that field fertilized. So you get your sheep in there. So you can't do it to your entire field, because then that looks like you're looking to fertilize your field. But instead, oses sahar lebeit satayim, you can make one deer the size of two beit sa'as. So you've got 5,000 square amas, and you have to leave the animals in there so that they don't wander all over your field, so that they're clearly in a deer of their own. Fine. When they have done a good job at dropping their fertilizer all over the field, then you take out three sides, move them onto the other side, leaving the fourth side in place. So now you've got another Beit Satayim on the other side. And you had that mechitza there the whole time. Your Mishayera to Emtsa'id. So you leave the first, the middle one, and that way you end up getting four Beit Sa'ah all beautifully done. So this appears to be, again, that it's going to be Machlokas, as we'll see. But basically, we don't want people to say you came to fertilize your whole field. So we allow you that type of diur, so that people will say, well, I mean, people have rational reasons for needing to keep their sheep penned. I mean, they've got to shear the sheep. Maybe they're cleaning the sheep, whatever. I mean, but you certainly can't just let sheep wander all over the place. They'll go try running around and find them. What are you going to be dealing with them? I mean, maybe it's a tuberculosis testing. I don't know. But whatever it is, those sheep have got to be there. So therefore, you're not clearly actually coming out, to do the entire field. So therefore, if you do it little by little, you put a deer there, okay, we understand. Once it looks, you know, it's all filthy and so on, you'd want to have another place, so you'd put it in the other place. So that would be essentially being medayer, but not the entire field. You can even do two sa'ah at a time, and in the end get eight sa'in by utilizing the mechitza on the bottom the next times, because all you need to look at is that middle piece, and it's as if it goes round and round in a way that allows the two sa'ah to all be connected with the other. So it looks like a big area that you ended up needing to keep moving your sheep from place to place. Okay, but what about if your entire field was only that shear? So it was Beit Arba Atzayin. So then, now it really does look like that, just coincidentally, of course, you had the heter of the Arba Sayin, but your whole field was Arba Sayin, and then there's no way for people to say, Well, this guy doesn't want to fertilize his field. He just wants to take care of the periculum testing because he is fertilizing his whole field. So in that case, if I tackle Sadeu Bit Arba'a Sa'in, so then you can't do the full Arba'a Sa'in. You would need to be Mishayir Mimena Miktzat Bipnei Marita Ayin. So you would need to leave a little bit of the field that you didn't actually draw it out to. And that way it doesn't look like you're doing the entire thing. Because otherwise it will look like you're actually doing zibul. Fine. Motzi min ha-sachar. Here gets a problem. Motzi min ha-sachar v'noten l'toch sadehu k'derech ha-mizablin. So now what that seems to be saying is that then you would be allowed to take out droppings that were inside the deer part, and you could still utilize that the way that it was mutter to do in terms of the prorated three piles per Beit Sa'ah that you could still do in the rest of the field that you weren't able to do the deer on because it was bigger than the area that you were allowed to do, or because you had to pull back and not cover at all, right? So that means if you've got a 20 Beit Sa'ah field and you're only allowed a maximum of 4 or 8 Beit Sa'ah, well, that doesn't mean that just because you did those that you can't draw some of the dung out and make the three piles per Beit Sa'ah in the rest of the field. People are going to put the two things together, and therefore you would be allowed to, this is one way of learning the Mishnah, you would be allowed to actually move it out, and there would be no problem. Okay. Now, the problem is that, according to the Rambam, the whole Mishnah is actually talking about somebody who is actually going to do the fertilizing. He's not interested in tuberculin testing, and he's not interested in shearing, because the idea over here is that you are allowed, not like the first way we understood it, but rather, so anyway, the first way, yes, I mean, the Rosh Mishnah understands it that way. But the Rambam says, not like that. The Mishnah is actually being matir, you consciously going out there in order to be mizabel. Because since it's not clear that that's what you're doing, so the Rabbanan didn't answer it because of Maris Ha'ayin. And then we're saying that in the event that you need to take out some of the zevo, you could still use it in the correct way. And what is this? It's actually, obviously, haroma. But the rabbanan haroma means you're pretending to do one thing while doing another. So you're making these dirim, even though you clearly intend to do zibul. So there are places, as we've seen, where the rabbanan were matir haroma. There's other places where they're bavacha lo yarim. In this case, the Rabbana did not asr aroma because it isn't clear to anybody that they can prove that it's aroma, because everybody really does need to have at certain times a enclosure for their sheep. I mean, what are you going to say? Everybody who puts their sheep in an enclosure on their field is doing something wrong? That's insane. So nobody's going to say that. Because of that, the Rabbana did not asr aroma in this case. So now there's also a big difference in how you learn the rest of the Mishnah. So according to the Rambam, the last piece of the Mishnah, which is saying that then you are allowed to take the piles out and place them three per Beit Sar, whatever the halacha was, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, and so on, that you could do that if you want to do that. But according to the Rosh Mishnah's Pshat, the Mishnah is not saying you could do it. The Mishnah is saying you must do it. Meaning that if in the end you leave all of that dung spread out on the field, so then the end result is, oh my gosh, you really did fertilize your field. And we were never matir haroma to fertilize your fields. It's totally different approaches. According to them, the last part of the mission is, get all of that, you know what, out of there. Because otherwise, it's going to look like you went there to fertilize it. Which, of course, Chas v'Shalom, I didn't do. Okay. So those are very different approaches. And so the hamotzi, motzi min hasachar, is either a chiyav to be motzi, I mean, that idea from, which is the same as the sahar, the enclosure part. Okay, so now we know that the Mishnah actually says later on, taman taninan, sadesh nitkaftza. Suppose you cleared a field, nitkaftza means from kotsim, comes from the word kots, you took out all of the kotsim. and you thereby made it clear and ready to be planted. Now, there's a machlokes, whether we're referring over here even to uprooting kotzi, which is much more similar to harisha because you're working on the ground, or whether, like many of the Rishonim learn, we're talking about cleaning from kotzim that are not attached to the ground. So basically everything was cut before. These kotzim had been lying on the field, and you're just going to come and you're going to rake everything out. You're going to clear it out, which there's no real iser on Shvias anyway. So that type of thing that you did during Shvias, there's no problem. The Chachomim did not ask you to utilize that melacha for after Shvias. You can go right ahead and do the Zriya on your field right after Shvias. But if you actually did something wrong, the Taiba, so you actually plowed it and you made it ready for Zriya by working the ground, Oshani Dairei. Wait a minute. So here it says, if you had animals that were in a deer, Nidaira from the word deer, and they actually had dropped dung all over it, and now it's very fertile, then Lotizer on the Motzei Shvias, because there's a knas. So that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're telling me that I'm going to give you a knas for doing it, how the heck could you allow it L'chatchila over here? The two Mishnayos seem to be contradictions. Omer Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah says, no, wait a minute. We're talking about two different situations. Now, this is what, how to understand this Gemara leads to the issues that the Rash and the Rambam actually have to learn the Gemara very differently. So, Keni Masnisen, the case of our Mishnah is not about somebody who is going around trying to figure out how to fertilize this year, is Sada. It's talking about a Rotze La'amitzon B'toch Sadehu. He really does need to do tuberculin testing, or he really needs to do shearing. And that's why it's there. So all it's saying is that even though there's no way to turn these animals off in terms of their being fertilizing machines, but nonetheless, Osesar Beit Zatayim, it's not a problem. Because afterwards, you'll need to take it out. So this would be the way the Rosh Mishnah understands it. Mashenke, the Mishnah later, is talking about the case where the guy is actually being marim. He wants to do the fertilizing. And so there, we give him a knas. We don't allow you to do that, lechatchila, if you don't have any real need to actually do it. Okay, so we said the Rambam obviously learns that this piece very, very differently. All right, so we'll stick with the simple pshat. We're already at our half an hour mark over here. Now, as far as how you build a deer, it's got to be a serious deer for this, because if it's the type of thing that the animals are going to just be able to walk out of, then it really is announcing, I don't really need to keep my sheep in here, but it's a great way to fertilize my field. So therefore, bakolo sim siarin, you can make it with anything you want. You can use machatzalot, you can use kash, you can use avonim, and you can even use just wires. Afilo shlosha chavalim ze lemala mizeh, as long. Now, here there is a very important tikkun of the girsa, because the way we have it is a little bit crazy and is not the lashon at all of the brisa, and therefore the gro changes it totally to read ubilvad shiyeh ben sar as a sar kamali sar, which makes no sense. What it actually means is ubilvad shelo yeh in, and the idea over here is each piece of the mechitza can have gaps in it of shlosha tvachim, because remember, the whole halacha of lavud, even when we're talking about it in sukkah, was because of what? That if it's not lavud, meaning that it's less than three tvachim, then a gedi is able to be kofitz bebat rosh between it, right? So what does that mean? Well, you're obviously not taking much care of your kids, because those kids are going to be going right through your supposed mechitzas, you phony. And therefore, that is an absolute minimum. So that you have to do. And inside, oto makom, you do what you need to do. You're tuberculin testing, you're milking them, you're doing the shearing in them. I don't know what you're doing. But within that deer, you can move those animals back and forth, even though they're obviously going to also be fertilizing machines as you move them, and it's also even going to encourage their further fertilizing, that is not a problem. Okay, tomorrow we'll try to figure out how we get Eitzah as the alternative. That leaves us Whew. Okay, with completing Daf Chof Beis and Bezrat Hashem, waiting for those Besuras Teves, which will, we really need to know these halachas now, being as next Shvius will be a D'oraisa, so we have enough time to prepare the Dinim D'oraisa, finally. Whew. Okay, good. We just hope we don't find out. We hope we don't find out that we were wrong about the measuring of Shvius, and it's the first year that we hit that Shemitah. Oh my gosh, we better finish this fast. Yes, yes, Barnea.
Not related to Shvius, related to Baba Kama. I was going to say if we got the because we started the Matzei Shabbos and under pressure, Rebbe did not have the
recording stopped
to give an introduction to Seder Nezikin, the first three bubbles, what's happening. Rebbe addressed it a little bit now on the way to today, but we could use the Seder Nezikin introduction, I think.
Well, we could. Do we usually do that? Or we usually do that at the Siyam?
Rebbe then comes back to the Siyam. There's some introduction that he talked about Chosin and Nashim.
No, I did that at the Siyam. I'm sure of that. That was the Siyam.
Rebbe also leads off, usually, especially this Seder of Shas, Rebbe's been focused on structure, so it's very helpful to have that laid out.
I don't know. I think that you're laying out certain chiyuvim that I never was makabo on myself. But all right, we'll think about it. I think I only do it at the CM, but I'll try.
Okay, when Rebbe does, generally at the Masechta, Rebbe does speak about the
Masechta, but not. I'd speak about the old.
Even have the Masechta, but I'm saying here because it's three bubbles and what's happening. Personal
all right.
Very helpful.
Fair enough. We'll get to it, Bezrat Hashem.
We'll be most grateful.
All right, everybody, it's wonderful to be with you. I hope you can figure out some way of cutting Barnea out so that we can actually finish this morning.
But that's why it wasn't the Agav that all these things were addressed, you know, Makas, et cetera. It's introducing long-term concepts. That would be part of it, to see the weave.
Okay, thank you. Wow. Give a guy a break, Barney. Give a guy a break.
It says we should give a Rebbe a break. I thought it's the opposite. No break.
No, it's a Befer She Gemara. Ani ayom samchuni ba'ashishot va'at mevakish b'meni dover. What's the matter with you? Alrighty. Go to the fence, sweeties. Bye.